God's praises, everybody will be happy over there. Oh, everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises, everybody will be happy over there. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy over there. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing around the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Hallelujah. And you know what? We're having a pretty good time while we're on our way to getting there, aren't we? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in church today. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. Amen, buddy. God bless you. Appreciate you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Good to see you in church this morning. Praise the Lord, Brother Wade. Good to see you, Brother Bobby. Good to see you. Praise the Lord. Play some more of it, guys. Hey, buddy. Good to see you, man. Appreciate you. Play the song. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, now everybody will be happy. Will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy.
There we go. we get to look upon His face. I long to look upon His face. Everybody will be happy over there.
I said now everybody will be happy. Will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, everybody will be happy. Will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Everybody is going to be happy over there. You're the saddest person in this world here today to make that place. You're going to be one of the happiest people. Amen. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Well, did you enjoy church last night? Amen. Was the word of the Lord outstanding last night? I told Brother Donnie a minute ago, I said, usually when I get to the book of Daniel in the Bible, I just flip right through it because I don't understand a bit of it. But my understanding was so helped last night. Was yours? Isn't it good to know what God's doing in the earth right now while we're hearing it? God is doing something in our lives. God is doing something in everybody's lives today, for the better or for the worse. Things are happening. But I'm glad for us. God has found favor. We have found favor with Him, and He is doing great things in the lives of the believers. Do you believe that with all your heart this morning? Somebody say praise the Lord. We've got just a few requests, so if you'll just stand with me this morning. Brother Baker wants to thank all of you for praying for his wife. She's feeling so much better. Thank you for praying for her. I want to remember Brother Bud Davis this morning suffering with gout, so let's pray for that need today as we pray. Sister Jessica Benton offers this testimony. I had 4 compression fractures in my spine, leaving me in constant pain for the last year. 2 weeks ago, while Brother Donnie was reading a quote from Brother Branham's prayer lines, the Lord healed my back, and I have not felt any pain since. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, isn't God just good? Somebody say God is just good. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray this morning. If you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about, Brother Amos, why don't you come lead us to the Lord? Let's just pray over these needs. Let's invite His presence into this service today. I believe we're going to have camp meeting here again today. Praise the Lord, Brother Amos. God bless you, buddy.
Yes. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, as we come before You this morning, Lord, we're so thankful. We're so thankful that we can call You God, and not just God, but we can call You Father. We believe, Father God, that our origination began with You, Lord. Dear God, we're made manifest on this earth, and we can only manifest, Lord, what was in that seed. We believe we're no longer even in a seed stage, but Lord, there's some beautiful branches that's put forth, dear God. Lord, we think of what the prophet told us, Lord, that when the grafting was going on, dear God, there was many different branches that was put in to the tree, dear God. But He said, if that orange tree ever puts forth another branch, it'll bear oranges every time, dear God. We're thankful, dear God, for the Word. And the Word will produce Word. And it will produce, Lord, by the Spirit. It will produce Word made flesh. We're thankful, dear God, that there's Word made flesh once again. And Lord, there's orange branches coming forth, Lord, and they're bearing oranges, dear God. Lord, we're thankful for all these things, Lord. We're thankful for answered prayer. Lord, in our midst, Lord, the testimonies, dear God. Lord, I'm holding these requests in my hand, along with other requests, Lord, that was mentioned last night, Lord. Father God, I ask you in Jesus Christ's name for your divine intervention, Lord. Dear God, that you would move on the scene, Lord, for these requests, we pray. Dear Lord, and you also coming to heart, Lord, the Krause family. Lord, we pray that you'd be near and dear to them, Lord, this morning, Lord. Lord, those of us, Lord, out there over in South Africa, Lord, I think of the groups, Lord, that I was with when I was over there, Lord. They look to our pastor as their own pastor. They don't have a pastor, and they stream our services, Lord. They get our videos, dear God. They know us all by name, Lord. We pray, dear God, that everyone, Lord, of Brother Andre's group, Lord, over there in the northern part of the country, I ask it in Jesus Christ's name that you move for them, Lord God. May your divine perfect will be made manifest there as they believe that, Lord God. Lord, we ask it, Lord, that you would just bless our pastor this morning. Strengthen him, dear God, as he brings us the word, dear God. May we have receptive hearts and ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church, Lord. Thank you, dear God, that we hear, dear God. We see your name wrote all the way through the word. It's got our name on it, dear God. Thank you, Lord, for your ordination of us, dear God, for this hour. Lord, we're eternally grateful to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Amos. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us today, we certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Certainly glad to have you. All our brothers and sisters that are streaming this service today, pray it'll be a great blessing. This service will be a great blessing to them. Let me make one announcement. The pavilion, as you might have noticed on the screen, they have opened the pavilion for your pleasure and for going over there and whatever y'all do over there. It's open for you. But due to vandalism, your keys that you now have, they won't work. You can go and play and eat and do whatever that, but none of your keys will work, and that has been changed because of vandalism. There's an element in every facet that you look at, there's an element that just ruins it for a lot of people. But anyway, the pavilion is open. You can go and enjoy that for the duration of this season. But it's so just so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. What a privileged people we are. Brother Joel, I want you to come right quick. Brother Chuck, you get up right quick. Go over here and get with Brother Harry. I'm going to do that song, Through the Fire, as a congregational this morning. These guys don't get all be here at one time very often, but we sure appreciate them, don't we? Sure appreciate this song. While they're getting ready to sing, let's do that little chorus, Thank You, Jesus, just before they get ready, while it'll take Chuck a while to get out of that cage back there. So, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Oh, you brought me. Yes, you brought me a mighty long way. A mighty long way. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you brought me. Yes, you brought me a mighty long way. One more time. Well, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 'Cause you brought me. Lord, you brought me a mighty long way, mighty long way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 'Cause you brought me, Lord, you brought me a mighty long way. Let's help them sing this song this morning. Just remain standing if you will.
So many times I've questioned certain circumstances or things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision and my frustration gets so out of hand. Well, it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. And as I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me. And it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and He will take you through the fire again.
I know within myself that I would surely perish. Oh, but if I trust the hand of God, He'll seal the flames again, again.
He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard. Without fighting, but He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show. Take you through the fire again.
Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. We have a couple of specials for us. I believe the band, they have a song. If y'all want to come onto the platform and be getting ready, then Brother Chuck's going to have a song for us this morning. I won't be able to get to everybody that had a song, but we will get you just as soon as time permits. While they're getting ready, let's sing another little chorus. I've been redeemed. How about you? I'm glad I'm redeemed. I'm glad I was bought back. I was sitting on a shelf in the devil's pawn shop, just like you. And somebody come by with enough money to buy me back. Aren't you glad that Jesus had what it took to get you back? Wasn't money, but it was His own blood that He bought you with. Somebody say praise the Lord. I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. Oh, Jesus has changed my whole life. Play it, you know it. Oh, if anybody asks you just who I am, oh, tell them I. Has changed my whole life. Anybody ask you just who I am? Oh, tell them I am redeemed. We kind of appreciate these guys, don't we? Give them a nice hand this morning. Play it better.
pray for me. I think I've about sung my voice out. It happened so long ago. I cried out for mercy back then. Let the blood of Jesus, I begged Him to forgive my sins. But I still can't forget it. It just won't go away. So I wept again. Lord, wash my sin. This is all He'd say. What sin? What sin? That's as far away as the east is from the west. What sin? What sin? It was gone the very minute you confessed. Buried in the sea of forgetfulness. The heaviest thing you'll ever carry is a load of guilt and shame. You were never meant to bear them, so just let them go in Jesus' name. Our God is slow to anger, He's quick to forgive our sins. So let Him put them under the blood. Don't you bring them up again, 'cause He'll just say, what sin? What sin? That's as far away as the east is from the west. What sin? What sin? It was gone the very minute you confessed. Buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Oh, Lord, deliver me from my accusing memory, 'cause nothing makes me weak this way than when I hear you say, what sin? What sin? That's as far away as the east is from the west. What sin? What sin? It was gone the very minute you confessed. Buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Buried in the sea of forgetfulness.
Appreciate that today. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's turn to the book of John while you remain standing. John chapter 19, verse 7. I want to speak to you again today on the powers that be. John chapter 19, verse 7. The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law, he ought to die." The Jews are speaking to Pilate about the Lord Jesus. "By our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from Rome." Really? But Rome was the one who placed him here. Rome was the one who delegated the earthly authority. So Rome had delegated authority, but above was also giving authority. But this authority wasn't good. It wasn't godly, righteous authority. Praise the Lord. Now you're looking at me funny. This would be encouraging to you if you listen to it right. No matter what the devil does, no matter how much evil is able to achieve and all that, there's still a higher power that will only allow him to do so much. This must have been overwhelming to Pilate and to the people who heard this. Listen, he says, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath a greater sin." Now, I know it's a common saying in our day that all sin is sin, all sin is the same. But that's not the Bible. There are some sins that are greater than others. Our Lord Jesus tells us so. Let's read also Romans chapter 13, verse 1. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." The powers that be are ordained of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we so love you today. We thank you for your word. I pray that you would help us, dear Jesus. Lord, I always feel so inadequate to stand before your people, but especially dealing on prophetic things, Lord, I certainly need your help today. Help me that I can be able to make the things clear that lay before us, Father. We are indeed grateful that you've had these things written and foretold, that we would be able to be advised, alarmed, that we would be equipped for the day that we live. Take your word and speak to us today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We're blessed people today, aren't we?
Amen.
To be able to have the opportunity to come to the house of God and to be able to hear his word, to be able to know the hour that we live, to know the day and the time, the allotment of things that's been given to us. The powers that be, that are ordained of God, you know, it's always staggering to people because they look at evil things and they look at evil powers and evil things that have been, and they look and see how that good, sincere people have terrible things to happen to them. And they see that terrible, evil rulers have been the majority of the rulers that are in the earth. Dictators and kings and all those different things that have been down through time. And then many people lean to that other side and think, well, how could there be a God and him allow such things to happen? How could God allow babies to be born, you know, with different types of defects? And how could God allow innocent people to be killed? And how could God do this and do that? Well, God don't do any of that. God don't specialize in that sort of thing. But it is actually the God of this earth who is doing that, and he convinces the people that it's the God of the universe that does it. But he is working under, let me say it this way, he is working under a stolen right or a stolen ability that he has to usurp authority over the earth. But he must still work under what God will allow him to do. Now, even in our own lives, you know, there's things that happen to us that God himself never ordained that we go through this and that and the other. But yet God will take it and turn it around and make it work for our good. We believe that's what the scripture tells us. So then whenever we look at the world powers that have been since the fall of man, and we could go back historically and be able to bring up many of the kingdoms that have been and know that God, even though that God was not the one who necessarily wanted them to rule over his people, but yet God forecasted or foreknown and foretold that there would be certain rulers that would rise, they would do this and that, they would reign for so long, this one would do this, this one would do that. So it's all in God's wisdom and God's providence that he knows that it will. Now under that, then God allows Satan to be able to dispatch or determine and send certain princes, certain spirits that will be over this nation, that nation. They will motivate rulers. They will motivate dictators. They will cause them to do certain things. But yet in all of that, God is the one who over the whole thing tells us that this will happen and that will happen and this will reign for so long and then this one will come and take his place. So it ought to be an encouraging thing to us to know that the end time being so close upon us, that God already knew the very day and the hour that we would be here. He not only knew the good angels which would survive, but he knew the bad ones that would become bad. He knew the evil ones that would pull away from him, and he knew which side they would take. He also knew the rulers and the leaders of the end time. He knew the powers that were to be, that would be necessary. Now, in the plan of God and the orchestration of God, there are certain big powers that God recognizes. Four major world governments, as we've looked at already prior to this, through the Gentile dispensation. But yet God never mentions anything about Mussolini. He never mentions anything about Hitler. He never mentions anything about different ones, Napoleon, different ones that would come underneath there, because God is dealing with the major ones. So then beginning in 606 BC, God foreknown and foretold that there would be four major kingdoms that would come upon the earth. Now in between those times, there might be this one that would rise and that one would rise, but it would never be a world dominant leadership. So God is focusing on those things. It's the same way with preachers. You know, God never told every preacher's name that would come, but yet God gave major events and told us that this man would come or that one would come. And when God does, you better look for it. It's going to be something big. It's the same way on the negative side. Then whenever we find ourselves in the last day, the closing of all of the Gentile history. Now, because the days of Babylon are done, the days of Nebuchadnezzar are done, and the days of the Medo-Persians are done, the days of the Greeks are done, but yet we want to look at them to be able to see a similarity to running up to the fourth and the final kingdom. Because as God showed the vision, the first of all, the dream to Nebuchadnezzar, then he gives the follow-up vision to Daniel, then he comes in Daniel chapter 7 and he sees another vision. Daniel chapter 8 sees another vision. Daniel chapter 9 sees another, comes over and sees on over to the end time. Then we see in Revelation 13, Revelation 17, we see that God is foreshadowing, and each time God would show them, he would show the other part, how it led up to it. So it's like each one goes to this, goes to this, goes to this. You know, really when you look at it in the gospel, it's exactly the same way. That we preach justification by faith, but it leads up to what? Sanctification by the blood. And then leads to what? Restoration of the gifts, which leads up to Malachi 4, right? So this one leads into that one, which leads into that one, which leads into the final stage of perfection. So it's the same thing. Now in this, there's four Gentile kingdoms, which will lead to the headship of the Antichrist. And we know that the Son of God was the headship of the mystery of godliness that was manifest in the flesh. And there will also be a mystery of iniquity, which will be the headship of Satan, which will be incarnate on the earth in the last day. It'll come up through four stages. As the four stages of the restoration will restore the word back to its position, so also there will be four Gentile kingdoms that will lead to the incarnation of the Son of Perdition made manifest. And it will actually be where Satan will become on the earth and live incarnate in a human being. Is that right? Now it is called the son of perdition or the man of sin. But there is a great difference between the son of perdition and the son of man. There's a great difference between the son of perdition and the son of God. But if you'll notice him and how that Satan does it, he watches God's pattern, and then he'll pick out of that certain things that he wants to replicate for his own. Now, in this, we looked at the book of Revelation last night, and we closed in Revelation chapter 17. I'd like to pick up on it again today, if you would. Revelation chapter 17, verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now, remember, John, being a prophet, he's banished now on the Isle of Patmos, and God is showing to him things which are, things which have been, rather, things which are, and things which are going to be. A prophet in the realm of vision, whenever he would move into that fourth dimension, that realm where he would see his visions, he could move from, say, 606 BC, he could move up to 484 BC, then he could move over here to 127 BC, then he could move over to 30 BC, and just a matter of seconds. And reading it, it would seem as if, though, it's going to happen. Bang, 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 bang. But actually, there'd be 150 years of time go between this stage, 235 years in between this stage, 487 years between this stage. But yet when the prophet would write it down, he would just write it down as he saw it in the vision. And God may have given it to him in the sequence of time to where it was only seconds apart. So he would go from the head of gold, but he would go down to the shoulders and the arms of silver. Then he would come on down into the thighs of brass, and then he would move down into the legs and the toes and the feet of iron and clay, and it would happen just 1, 2, 3, 4, just like that. And people prophetically trying to read prophecy, they read it and they try to just put it all together as if though it's going to happen at one time. But God can do it however he wants to, since he's God. So it's the same way now with John on the Isle of Patmos, that John, in reading the book of Revelation, many of you probably have been as I have, that you try to read it and think, man, what in the world would that mean? But isn't it amazing when God really puts it all together and the illustrations and the simplicity of it, it is so simple you think, why was I afraid to read that? Why was I afraid to read the book of Daniel, read the book of Revelation? And you really realize that a preacher cannot bring it to you until he understands it himself. And you may wonder why at times, why don't Brother Donnie preach this and why don't he preach that? Well, I'll tell you, if God don't make things clear to me, there's no need for me to try to preach them to you, because I'll make you more confused than you already are. Brother Ben said he wouldn't preach on hell till he understood it. Well, thank God for an honest man. Now, watch, when John then is carried away into this stage of the vision, in verse 4 he said, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now, notice he sees in this, he sees that the woman is going to be riding on a scarlet color beast, but he also sees that the woman is arrayed in purple and scarlet. So these colors have a significance. In verse 5, upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So now all of this, of course, is symbols. Now in the symbolism, if you don't have a prophet to be able to interpret it for you, then you'll find this is where theologians and great men, that they try to put it all together. And they may have a good understanding and they take certain things and they try to put it out. But this is why God needed to send us a prophet in the last days. Because they would run out so far, and then they'd add something else to it that would mess up the whole thing. We thank God for all the truths that have been down through the ages, right? Now, let me share with you some of these truths this morning. As I said last night, many people feel like that we as message people, that Brother Branham hatched up a lot of these ideas, and Brother Branham wanted to make something out of himself. He wanted to be a great prophet. He wanted to be a great this or that or the other, whatever they think he wanted to become. So he sat around, I guess, with nothing to do, twiddling his thumbs, and he picked up an old pencil and a piece of paper one day, and he started writing down all these things he wanted to come up with. Well, first of all, that's a bunch of trash and lies. Brother Branham was a prophet of God, but prophets of God, everything they say doesn't always originate with them. As a matter of fact, they may repeat what somebody else said that was the truth. That's why I've told you before, I am a child of truth. So if I read some truth in a Baptist book, that belongs to me. It don't belong to the Baptist. If I go by a Methodist church sign and I can read that sign, I don't have to turn my head. Bless God, I'll never read nothing off of a Methodist church sign. I will if it's truth. And if it's truth, I may come preach it to you because you're a child of truth. Amen. I don't have no copyright on truth. I'm a child of truth. All truth belongs to me.
And you, if you're a child of truth, same with the prophet of God. And people are trying to say, oh my, Brother Branham said things Clarence Larkin said. He sure did. Some of it word for word. Now that takes away from what he said. It does no such a thing. Well, my, he said things that John Gill said and Burkett said. He sure did. Praise the Lord for it. Now, watch this. John Gill says about this in Revelation 17:5. It is very remarkable what has been observed by some, that the word mystery was formerly upon the frontlet of the Pope's mitre and was removed by Pope Julius III when it was observed that the Protestants made use of this passage of Scripture and it applied to the Romish Antichrist. Well, praise the Lord. So now once they found out that the Protestants, and let me say what I said last night, I am a Protestant. I protest the Catholic Church. And I don't stutter when I say it. I protest the Pope. I protest them making Mary a God. I protest them worshiping Mary. Why would I want to talk to the secretary when I can talk to the main man? I ain't never prayed to Mary, and I ain't going to start now. I love Peter, but I ain't going to pray to him. I love Andrew. I love Paul, but I sure ain't going to pray to him. The Lord Jesus told me whatever I ask the Father in His name, He'll do it. All right. Now, watch this. He says, when it was observed that the Protestants made use of this passage of Scripture and applied it to the Romish Antichrist, Joseph Scaliger affirms that he saw mitres at Rome with this inscription on them. So now, here they start out with this inscription of the mystery on their mitre until the Protestants find out about it, and then they start preaching on them, and then they take it off. Now watch, Revelation 17:6, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Now look, friend, folks say, well, what difference does it make whether or not we join up with them or not? So you want to join up with them. And what they're drinking is the blood of Paul. I don't want nothing to do with that cup. Now what? She is drunk with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Amen. Barnes says it this way, a reeling, intoxicated harlot. For that is the image which is kept up all along in regard to the phrase drunken with the blood. The phraseology is derived from the barbarous custom of drinking the blood of the enemies slain in the way of revenge. Now this is what the pagans would do. When they would go in and kill, say, a bunch of Tennesseans, then they would drain the blood out of your body and drink that blood and get drunk on your blood. And here is this whore. She's standing there with this cup in her hands. And what's in it? Wine? It ain't beer. It ain't moonshine. It's the blood of the saints of God. What for? In revenge. Because they stood against her. They defied her. They would not bow to her. So she killed them and then drunk their blood. And then the Protestants want to join up with her on this last day and sweep it all under the rug and said, oh, it don't matter no more. It does matter. We're all brothers. I ain't a brother with that. That's not my brotherhood. I'm brothers with the one they kill, not the killers. Oh, my. Notice this. The effect of drinking blood is said to exasperate and to intoxicate with passion and a desire of revenge. The meaning here is that the persecuting power referred to had shed the blood of the saints, and that in its fury it had, as it were, drunk the blood of the slain and had become, by drinking that blood, intoxicated and infuriated, No one needs say how applicable this has been to the papacy. Or would y'all prefer I bleep these words? Well, I happen to leave my bleeper at home. So it's a good thing you don't want me to bleep them. Burkitt said this, the Roman Empire was once pagan. Now it is not pagan, but Christian. Not only Christian by title, remember. Yet, is as idolatrous now as it was of old. The same it was, only in another form. Rome papal is certainly as idolatrous, as cruel and bloody as ever Rome pagan was of old. Yea, perhaps much more so beyond compare. And remember, when some of these historians and these theologians wrote these words, it was on risk of their own life. It was against Roman law to say it. But thank God they said it. Do you understand? It has been estimated at a minimum 50 million people have been slain by the Catholic Church. 50 million. And I'm supposed to hug all that Catholicism. Now, let me stress this to you. I love Catholic people, but I hate Catholicism. Oh, you're preaching a hate message. Oh, no. I hate no one. I love Muslims, but I hate Islam. I love Baptist folks, but I hate Baptist theology. I love Message folks, but I hate some of their theology. Praise the Lord. Come on now, don't get quiet. But what I hate and what I stand against is not the people that are in that. Look, friend, if I did, why would I go to Mexico? Why would I go to these other places around the world where Catholicism is so strong? I've stood in some of these large cities. I've stood in the Church of Guadalupe. I've stood in the cities of Mexico City and seen thousands and thousands of people. Been to some of the holy shrines and watched them. One woman nearly caught Carol's hair on fire with taking a candle and going up there, down on her knees and praying and nearly knocked us down. I've been to some of those places. Not out of hate. My heart broke when I saw that. But I hate that devil that binds them. I hate that system that binds them. It is my enemy. And I am it. Now watch this. Verse 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? Now John is so marveled that he's looking and my eyes is holding her in admiration. And he's like, who is this and what could this mean? And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman. And of the beast that carries her, which had seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. So it was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. Now watch this from Family Bible Notes. Was and is not, and shall ascend into perdition. The beast is the Roman power considered through the whole of its duration. And it was as the old Roman Empire, and in this form it was destroyed and ceased to be. Then it ascended out of the bottomless pit as papal Rome. And in this form it shall finally go into perdition. So it was, and yet is not. Praise the Lord. These people don't know nothing about the message. Type in Catholic Church and the word whore. Under Google or Yahoo, whatever your favorite browser is, you'll find all kinds of websites that say the same thing. Go to YouTube. Type in Catholic Church and whore. And you'll find all kinds of folks that don't believe the message, don't know nothing about what we stand for, yet they hold you. Say, how could they do that? Don't you understand the foolish virgin must stand against this? Don't you understand the foolish virgin? How can they be a foolish virgin and be a whore at the same time? They can't be. They have got to have this knowledge. Will they have a knowledge of a prophet? No, they don't need that to be foolish virgin. Well, they have the prophet maybe of the Godhead. They don't need that to be foolish virgin, but they must understand this whole system. And they will come out of it. Thank God they will. Watch this. It ascended out of the bottomless pit as paper Roman in this form shall finally go into perdition. Shall wonder at the beast, Revelation 13:3. That is, shall follow him into idolatrous admiration. When they behold the beast during the continuance of the beast or the persecuting power in its last form before its final destruction. Now this is where that people even now can be in a denomination and still not have the mark of the beast yet. Because it's not in its last form. When it moves from her into him, then they've crossed the line. But before it ever moves into him, many of them will say, I'm done with this stuff. I'm finished with this. I'll never take that beast.
Praise the Lord.
Watch this. Coke said it this way. When they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is, that is the power that once was mighty, that had declined to such a state that it became, as it were, extinct, and that was revived, and so much of its original strength that might be said still exists. The fact of its being revived in this manner, as well as the nature of the power itself, seemed fitted to excite this admiration. So it was as pagan Rome, and then it died, and then it revived again. Only what? When it come up in the resurrection, it wasn't an emperor. It wasn't a dictator. It was a papa. Gill says it this way. In short, the meaning is that this beast was the Roman Empire as pagan. Described by a dragon with 7 heads, 10 horns and crowns on the heads. But is not as yet in the apostles' time as papal. Now, when the time when John is saying this, it's still under the pagan aspiration. It's still under the pagan administration, but that's going to die. It's going to die. And it will resurrect years after John has done left the earth as what? As a church. Ruled as an empire. Ruled as a great, mighty world power. Tell me, do the Baptist church, Methodist Church of God, Presbyterian, Apostolic, do any of them have international ties with all the governments on the earth? Do you understand that at all the councils and all those great international things, the Catholics have a representative? Why? Why don't we send one over there? You think they'd let one of us, you have to go for me, you have to represent me, or you want to go over and represent us before Germany and Europe and all that? Why would they let the Catholic Church have a representation? Why does the Catholic Church need it? Because she's got her fingers in every nation on the earth. Even the governments of the world, even our president just went over to see Papa. Right? Hitler saw the Papa in his day. Come on. Don't y'all get quiet on me now. Why? Because they are an international power. They don't rule as an empire. They rule as a church and have international ties with nations all over the world. Well, praise the Lord. Now look in verse 9, Revelation chapter 17, verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads... are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. How peculiar. Now the woman is actually the dragon, the beast, and the power and all that. All these symbolic numbers. So there's 7 heads. But them 7 heads are actually the 7 mountains where the woman sits. Butler said the 7 heads, saith the angel, are 7 mountains. That is, signify 7 mountains. A clear description. Of Johnson City?
No.
Rome. As it's to its local situation being built on 7 hills. And there are 7 kings. That is 7 forms of government. By according to which Rome was governed. Namely by kings, councils, tribunes, dismira, dictators, and emperors that were pagans. Five of these were fallen in St. John's time. That is utterly extinct. Namely, the government by kings, councils, tribunes, sephira, and dictators. And one is. And the government by pagan emperors, which was in St. John's time, is in being. Other one has not yet come. So some have been, some is, and some on its way. You see, now, whenever John is there, Rome is still in control of the known world at that time. But it's fixing to be as not. And the eighth will be of the seventh and go into perdition. Now, it will go from one stage, it will empty out from paganism, and it will empty into another. Can't you see justification made way for sanctification? Sanctification made way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Baptism of the Holy Ghost made way for the Holy Ghost himself. What is the fourth work? Incarnation. Can't you see how these kingdoms keep moving, and they keep moving? What's the last stage of the Antichrist move? Incarnation of the devil himself. Jameson said it this way. Rome had a national festival called Septimontium, the feast of the seven-hill city, Plutarch. On the imperial coins, just as here, she is represented as a woman seated on seven hills. Now, this was on their money. A woman seated on seven hills, as nature shadows forth the great realities of the spiritual world, so seven hill Rome is a representative of the seven-headed world power of which the dragon has been and is the prince. Amen. Well, glory. I hope there's any Catholics here today, you get saved. I don't say that jokingly. I say it's the truth. You better get out of that system. Revelation 17:10. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen. And one is. And the other one has not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is of the eighth and is of the seventh and go into perdition. So here it is. It is in the embryo time while John's still here on the earth. It has never moved into the final stage yet while John is here. So it's still under the pagan influence. But under that pagan influence, she destroyed, she conquered, she done all of that. But never like she's going to do when she moves over into the final stage of it. Now watch, verse 12. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet. Now, in the last days, when it moves into the stage of the little horn of Daniel 8, then it will be in the very last stage of the little horn which comes up on the he-goat. And when it comes up, it will move into where there will be a confederation of union of 10 nations, which will make up the old Ottoman powers, which will be part of the ancient Roman kingdom. And there will be 10 kings that will be ruling whenever the Antichrist is upon the earth. Y'all follow me so far? Some of you are not sure. Y'all at Walmart, you at Taco Bell, or where are you? Get out of Babylon now. We're done moving over here. Move out of Babylon. Hurry. Now watch what's going to happen. There will be 10 kings. So John sees this. 10 horns, which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet. So here is the providence of God. Already saying thousands of years before the end time how many kings or rulers that there will be on the last day and that they will actually receive a kingdom. They're not even born. Their mamas are not born. Their great, 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 great grandfathers are not born. But God done tells you. You know what it tells me? No matter what the devil does and what the devil says, my daddy's still in control up here. Now, they have not received no kingdom as yet, John said, but received power as kings, which they're not kings, they're dictators. Received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now, this is not 60 minutes. This is an allotment of God, determined by God of how long. It don't make no difference if the devil wants them to go 1 hour and 5 minutes. God said 1 hour, 1 hour it'll be. Oh, glory. Now watch how God moves sovereignly, even among heathens. These have one mind, and they shall give their power and strength unto the beast. So politically, before the bride is ever gone, no doubt this is going on today. The kings, dictators, democracies, whatever you wish to call it, they're going on behind the scene. Over in Europe and wherever more, part of the old ancient Roman Empire. And they're already there, their position. Today they may call it a prime minister, they may call it whatever. But they're going to give their power to the beast when the hour rises. You think all of this is going to unfold 5 minutes after you leave? There's no telling how much is already in set in place. How much is going on this very day just waiting for you to get out of the way. I'll tell you one thing. He don't want me to leave any quicker than I want to leave. I'd be glad to leave out of this place and let him have this Satan's Eden. Yes, sir. Now watch. Maybe they're in their office now, or maybe they're going to be voted in next term. But they will be there, and they will be on the spot where they're supposed to be. And all of a sudden, when the beast power raises, here they will come. And the Confederation, representing the Ottoman powers of the old pagan empire, they will come and say, "Here, Holy Father." These have one mind. If a bunch of heathens could have one mind, what about Holy Ghost filled people? If they've got one mind but feeling, that is, give their power, give their government, give their nation, give their democracy over to him. Cannot I give my hands? Cannot I give my eyes, my mouth, my ears? Cannot we give Happy Valley over to the King of Kings? Notice now how deceived that these people will be. Once they move into this stage of the son of perdition, and they come under the influence, the auspices of the son of perdition, these shall make war with the Lamb. You need to tell me, these people will be so convinced that when Jesus comes to the battle of Armageddon, and he runs down through that and spreads his legs apart through the valley of Megiddo, and according to Zechariah 14, when he stands upon the mountain, and the mountain will divide as it was in the days of Haziel, and a great earthquake will come, and they will come, actually, and you will come with him on white horses out of heaven. And these people will gather together under the leadership of the little horn of Daniel 8, and they will stand there and ready to fight Jesus and you in glorified bodies. You say, "Wow, they're crazy." No, they're deceived. If you're not deceived today, you ought to be the happiest person in the world. "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings." Uh-oh. He is big Lord over little lords and big king over little kings. Amen. He is Lord of lords. Who's with him? Them little lords. Who's with him? Them little kings. Amen. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. They are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, "The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." This is now her domain. Nations, multitudes, and tongues. Some of them speak English. Some speak Spanish. Some speak French. Some speak Croatian. Some speak Russian. And yet her domain. Look at her dominion. And she rules from where? One city. Rome. There's never been an empire like her. There has never been. No wonder John looked at her. Even at the fourth beast, and he marveled. Daniel marveled at the same thing. He said, "This beast, there's never been nothing like her." You imagine, maybe God showed John a picture of the entire earth. And he saw a headquarters over here. And he saw a streak going from that headquarters to thousands of miles away. And he saw an outpost of that dominion. It was nothing like Alexander the Great. It was nothing like Darius or Cyrus. It was nothing like King of Babylon. It was nothing like he'd ever seen before. How can you have a dominion and rule it from one city, and part of your people live 10,000 miles away? You do it as a shepherd, so-called. The 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast. Now watch what's going to happen. These shall hate the whore. Wow. So hear this power that she's riding on, something from within her. They will hate her. And shall make her desolate. That's America. America will be blowed to smithereens by the time this part's fulfilled. America plays up so far in Revelation 13:8. She's the beast that came up out of the earth. Remember the two little horns, the buffalo. Right. She'll play a certain part. No doubt an element of her infrastructure will be able to withstand the earthquake. Friends, don't be asleep now. Look at the earthquakes on the West Coast. Look at the investigating judgment that's going on. The increase of UFOs. In Jerusalem, in New York City, in Chicago, in Minnesota, in North Carolina, everywhere, UFOs. I'm looking for an IFT, unidentified flying theophany. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's what I'm looking for. Brother Ben said, don't worry, little children. One of these days, one of them will drop down. And he said, it will not leave hair, nor hide, nor bones left behind. Amen. Going to Mars, Brother Donnie, I'll pass Mars so fast I'll never see it when I go by. Everything's getting set, children. Get ready. Now watch. They shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Which of course we know is atomic fire. Now watch in verse 17. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will. They're not even saved. They're not even Christians. They were part of the beast's power. Well, praise the Lord. If God can do that to heathens, can He do it to me, bitch? If God can do that to Nebuchadnezzar, if God can do that to different ones down through time that never even served Him, I think it's the devil that gets between us and our God and convinces us we can't submit to Him. I think it's a lie of the devil that's telling us we cannot overcome this and that and the other, and that we cannot live a godly life. If these people will fulfill God's will and they're not even living for Him, what about us? Now watch what will happen. Now this, of course, is during the time of the tribulation period. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will. Now these kings were not even born. These dictators, these rulers were not even born. Nowhere in the genealogy would you ever found for 10 generations, probably going back, that any of their families even alive. But God had already determined to put it in their being. They're going to obey my word. What about free moral agency? Well, it didn't sound like they had much. God didn't ask them, hey, you guys want to do me a favor? God said, no, I predetermined. There's going to be 10 of them. One of them will be from Germany, and one of them be from Britain, and one of them, you know, wherever more they're going to be from. And when they land in that slot of time, I predetermined. I put it in their will. They will, hallelujah, they will do me a service. Oh my, for God hath put in their heart to fulfill His will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until. Now here they're going to be part of it. Yes, yes. The Papa is what we need. Yes, yes. We need more. We need more trade. We need more commerce. We need this. Yes, yes, yes. And they'll go right into it. But all of a sudden, in the middle of the tribulation period, this word caught up with the time. And here they were moving right along in the beast power. Everything was great. And the word kept sneaking up, coming up, coming up, coming up, coming up. Whoop. And now it's synchronized in the hearts of these people. Now they're in the beast power. And all of a sudden they look at the Pope and say, no more Papa. No more Pope for me. No, 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 no. I'm sick of this Pope stuff. I don't want Pope Mobile. I don't want Pope this. I don't want that. No more Pope. Why? The Word of God caught up with the time. Lord have mercy. Don't you understand? We're wondering about the rapture. We're wondering about the resurrection. Just wait for the season, my brother. And when the Word catches up with where we are and we catch up with the Word, you'll not be able to hold our bodies. So God will put it in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And then once the word of the season lines up and everything synchronizes, then they turn and look at the whore and say, we will destroy you with fire. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. You don't have to be a theologian to understand who this is. Now let's change and go to the book of Daniel, if you would, chapter 8, verse 1. Necessary for us to read several scriptures here on this so you'll be able to follow the thought of this. So just be patient with me. Let's look at the vision of the he-goat. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even to me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in the vision, I was by the river Uliah. Then I lifted up my eyes, and I saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns. And the two horns were high. Now, what's the symbolism now? But one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. Now remember the bear last night? Whenever one shoulder would be higher on the bear, that wasn't just something in the vision. It's a symbolism of something. So here we see a similitude going on in this vision. And now John looks and he sees, or Daniel rather, when he looks and sees, and he sees one horn is taller than the other. And the taller horn came up last. Verse 4. And I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, and southward. Notice he didn't push east. So that no beast might stand before him. Now notice this is his season. The prince of evil has now anointed this military genius and his army. They're under this power, demonic power. Let me tell you something, children. If there's somebody supposed to be the president of the United States, you can spend $10 million to try to make sure they don't get in there. You can try to rally everybody you want to, from the Democrats, the Republicans, the Hillbillies, the Unitarians, and whoever more. But if God says that man needs to be in there to lead America to her destruction, he'll be president whether you like it or not. Exactly right. Same way in Germany, same way wherever more. If Putin is supposed to be in Russia, I don't care how much we try to pray him out. We need to align our prayers with the sovereignty of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. But you know what? This gives me such consolation because it lets me know my daddy's still got everything under control. It ain't left up to the Republicans. It ain't left up to the Democrats. It ain't left up to the Germans or the Italians or nobody else. My daddy calls the shots. Amen. Now watch. Verse 5. And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat. Now watch the vision. He sees a ram and he sees this ram and he's moving westward and northward and southward. And while he's beholding and considering this vision, he said a he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. Now here he comes. He's moving from the west, but he don't even touch the ground. The he-goat, it's like he's elevated. Sort of like he had wings on his back. that he's flying just right above the ground. He touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river. And he ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram. And he moved with color against him and smote the ram. Break his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him. Now what's happened? The prince of this kingdom has now surrendered over to the prince. I'm talking about the world of demons. There's no power. What happened? Why could not this ram withstand the he-goat? The anointing had terminated. Lord, have mercy, children. The anointing had terminated. So he had all the army. He had the cities. He had all the conquests that he had done. But the demonic anointing had left him. The superpowers that he had behind his power was no longer there. Don't you understand why our nation is going down the tubes? It's prophecy. I don't care how much we pray as message people. Oh, revival, revival. Forget it. There'll be no national revival for America. She sent away her day of grace. There can be a revival for you or you or you or me. Now what? So what happens in the vision is God shows Daniel the transition from one demonic influence of a dispensation as it changes. So here this demon that was so powerful that he had anointed this ram and my pissed westward and southward and northward and nobody could get in his way. But all of a sudden here comes a he-goat. Now this is hundreds of years apart from the beginning of the vision of the ram until the end of the he-goat. Now watch. No power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and he stamped upon him. So here in the vision, John sees this ram with the two horns, and here comes this he-goat left flying above the ground, and he comes over there, and my, he comes up against that ram, and he goes to the collar, which is extreme anger, and he goes to blowing and puffing and carrying on, and he stamps him under his feet. That was Alexander the Great. He's the he-goat. Now in verse 8. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken. So now he has this great horn right here between his eyes. Now when he reaches, it looks like the strength of his kingdom, his power. The great horn is broken. But now the he-goat, which represents the power, is still alive. But the horn, which represents the king, is broken. Oh my. The great horn was broken, for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. Now the great horn between his eyes is snapped off. And whenever it's broken, then four more horns come up in its place. Now they are attached to the same power. You understand? The beast is the power. The horn is the dominion of the king or kings. You understand? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. So here they come. They're still working out. Alexander goes off the scene. And now here his four generals come. And they work under the same influence. Exact same anointing. Don't you understand, children? Why the bride of Jesus Christ is still working under the same anointing that Elijah did when he was here? Brother Branham is gone and has been gone for many years, but that power is still here. That anointing is still here. I told Carol last night as we pulled out of the driveway going home here at church, I told her, I said, you realize the eagle anointing that God has given us. We are our best as eagles when we're soaring above the storms. We are in our space when we're in heavenly places. I'm not at home in a groundhog hole. I'm not at home whenever I'm bound down by storms or whatever more. Don't you see why Satan wants to keep you down? You're not in your domain when you're down, Brother Jim. You're not in your domain, Brother Phil, when you're oppressed and you don't feel, oh my, that God loves you. Your domain is up here in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's when you are who you are. No wonder he tries to stop you from coming to the house of God to discourage you on Saturday night. Oh, don't go on Sunday morning. Don't go on Wednesday. They don't love you no how. Don't you see what he's trying to do? He's trying to keep you out of your domain. Do you understand how vulnerable an eagle is when he's on the ground? You ever seen him walk on the ground? You ever seen an eagle try to run on the ground? They're not made like a rabbit. They're not made like a horse. They're just... Why? That's not his domain. Don't you understand why you long if you've got the Holy Ghost and you're born of the Spirit of God? Why this word, oh my, there's nothing in the world, no joy, no pleasure, no fun. There's nothing you can ever do that takes the place of you in the heavenlies. Why? That's when you are your best. Soaring in the presence of God, feeding on the word, anointed by the Spirit of God. And when are you your most vulnerable? So-and-so said so-and-so. And the baby's sick. And we can't pay the light bill no more. And I don't know what we're going to do tomorrow. We ain't got no groceries. This is going on. So-and-so said this in the church. That's going on. That's going on. Don't you understand what it's trying to do? It's trying to keep you on the ground. And every time Satan sees you flexing them big wings, he said, oh, oh, do something, do something. Call him on the phone. Send him a text. Send him a tweet. Send him a church. Send him something like that. Keep him down on the ground. My, if he gets up in the air, we'll never see him again. He'll be gone for months at a time. He soars in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you start flexing your wings. You can feel it coming on. And the phone rings. It's just like somebody poured cold water all over your wings. This is going on. The grandbaby's sick. The child's sick. Oh, goodness, so-and-so happened to the church. This is going on. Don't you understand it? He's trying to keep you down here where you're vulnerable. This is not your turf. This is not where you're your best. An eagle is not at his best dodging lightning. Standing under a tree somewhere trying to get out of the rain. He's supposed to be above them storms. So he sets his wings. And he's got eyes of Malachi 4 to be able to match the strength in his wings. Hallelujah. So he sets himself on the thermals. Y'all know what thermals are? Y'all know some what thermals are? Thermals are like on the mountains, the natural updrafts and the downdrafts on the mountains. I've hunted myself out in Arizona in different places of the thermals. And if you'll get those thermals, you'll be able to feel the temperature sometime 5 to 10 degrees. That'll be in the difference. And yet you'll watch them birds as they set their wings. They don't have to flop. They don't have to, man, boy, I got to get out of here. But what they'll do, they get right in the middle of one of them thermals. And the thermal is an up current which is going this way. Oh, hallelujah. That's what happens sometimes. Them grace thermals go to carrying us above all of our troubles. And we think, Lord, if I can get out of this world, if I can get away from this just for a few minutes, I can soar in heavenly places. You're praying for a thermal. You're praying for a divine thermal that'll come by and all of a sudden it catches under your wings. And you just set them. You just set them. And you're... You're not flopping. You're not jerking. You're riding. You're riding. Hallelujah. And the thermals are coming up. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. There you go. Oh my, there's a thunderhead that if I can catch a thermal just right. Ooh, here I go. Hello, storm. Hello, lightning. Now this is where I'm supposed to see storms from. This is where I'm supposed to see storms from. Hallelujah. Don't you understand why when I finally get us to the place when we're in service that His anointing is here. And I feel we've reached that place. That's why I don't care if I ever let you go. You saying, boy, He holds me long. You don't know nothing. If I'd done what I wanted to do, sometimes you wouldn't get home at 4 o'clock in the evening. Because you hadn't been to eat. You'd been soaring in the thermals. Going from one to the other. Over this mountain peak and over that mountain peak. Why, once you get there, that's an eagle's home. My, how'd I get on that? Now watch, the great horn was broken in verse 8, and it came. Four notable ones toward the four winds of the heavens. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. Now watch this little horn, it'll tell you who it is. And it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground. Alexander couldn't do this. Cyrus, Darius, no. This can only be the prince of the power of the air. Now the real epitome of His full administration is coming into view. And it ties back to the old battle when He cast down some of the stars. Even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host of the stars to the ground. And He stamped upon them. Yea, He magnified Himself even to the prince of the host, Michael. So now once this horn starts, He magnifies Himself. It goes up into the heavens, throws down the stars, stamps on the stars. And then He exalts Himself to the prince of the host itself. And by Him, the daily sacrifice was taken away. And the place of His sanctuary was cast down. Now we see a precursor of this in 70 AD under the administration of Titus. Titus. For Titus destroys the temple. But it was only a forerunner. And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truce to the ground. And it practiced and prospered. Don't you understand the precursor of this is going on right now? They are casting truth to the ground. I'm glad I still want truth. Let me find a place to stop. We'll pick it up a little bit next week. Verse 13. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall the vision be concerning the daily sacrifice? I love it when saints talk this way. So this is the concern of the saints. Where are we? Have you heard in the paper about the earthquake? Have you heard about this? This ought to be something on our hearts, saints. How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now to save time, we won't go into that. And it came to pass when Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning then. Behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uliah, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Glory. So you see, the devil ain't the only one that's got angels that packs messages. So he came near where I stood. And when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, God calls his prophets son of man. For at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia, Darius and his nephew Cyrus. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, Alexander the Great. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. Now let's read this together and we'll close. Gabriel informed Daniel that the ram stood for the Medo-Persian kingdom with its two kings, Darius and his nephew Cyrus. That the he-goat stood for the Grecian kingdom, the great horn between the eyes for its first king, Alexander the Great. And that four kings that took the place of the great horn stood to the four kingdoms in which the Grecian kingdom was divided. Now look, Alexander the Great reaches the ripe old age of 33. He had conquered the known world. But he got bitten by a mosquito in one of his campaigns. And he dies. Four generals now get the kingdom. At the age of 33, he conquered the world and lost it all. At the age of 33, my husband conquered the world and still has it all. Hallelujah to God. This revealed to Daniel that the two horns of the ram, one higher than the other, and the two shoulders of the bear. Now watch how the visions correlate together. One higher than the other of his vision, the four wild beasts and the two arms of the image of Daniel of Nebuchadnezzar's dream must stand for the same thing. That the double kingdom of Medo-Persia, he also saw the four horns that come up in the place of the great horn, corresponded to the four heads of the third wild beast, the leopard. And that therefore the he-goat and the third wild beast and the abdomen and the hips of the colossus stood for the Grecian kingdom and its fourfold division among the generals. The goat was the national emblem of Macedonia, from where Alexander started conquering. And is found on the coins of that country. The ancient capital of which was called Agae is called the Goat City. Oh, that just happened to be. Sure, I know it happened to be because my father happened it to be. Fate. Don't call my daddy Fate. You left out a few letters. F-A-T-E, add F-A-T-H-E-R. That's who he is. He's my father. Nothing to do with fate. Why did it just happen? No, he ordained it that way. The same may be said as the identification of the ram, which was the Medo-Persian kingdom. Persian coins have been found, which display a ram's head on one side and a ram incumbent on the other. We also read of a Persian king riding in front of his army wearing a golden figure of a ram's head set with gems instead of a diadem. In the Zenavista, Azebiram, the guardian spirit of Persia appears as a ram. Notice the guardian spirit of Persia. With clean feet and sharp pointed horns. The fury and violence of the he-goat depicts the vigor of Alexander the Great attacks, which carried everything before them, rushing from the west. Notice where he saw it in the vision before Alexander's ever even born. He sees him coming from the west. What is Alexander attacked from? The west. Glory to God. Rushing from the west, Alexander, in three great battles, made himself the master of the world. But how could he do it? Because the he-goat was anointing him. And when that anointing left him as an individual, the horn was broke off. Oh God, don't ever take the Holy Ghost from us. Let's stand. Now watch this last paragraph. These four horns stood for the four generals of Alexander's army who divided his kingdom among themselves. Cassander took possession of Macedonia. Lysimachus seized upon Thrace. Western Bithynia, Lower Phrygia, Mysia, and Lydia. Seleucus took the remainder of Asia Minor and the East, including Syria and Assyria. Ptolemy took possession of Egypt. These four kingdoms were in time all absorbed into the fourth world kingdom, the Roman Empire. The last to lose its identity being Egypt, which succumbed in B.C. 30. Now here, this part of the vision now closes. Hundreds and hundreds of years apart, and the he-goat anointing leaves them, and there it's gone. Then comes this diverse beast moving on the earth. Now he devours and crushes every other kingdom on the earth. Oh God, help us. Now where are we? Down in the toes of this kingdom. Waiting for the little horn to be able to move in. The toes will hold. The toes will hold their place. They'll be working on the scene. There's invisible thrones working behind us. Working behind us. Invisible dominions. Invisible domains. They're pulling many strings. All of it sitting together. But while that's going on, there's another work going on. Jesus getting us ready for that great day. This little horn will come and be the incarnate devil as the headship of Christ is finalized in the incarnation of the final work in his body on the earth. That will be the bride. Once the incarnation is complete, he raptures her. Once he takes her away, the mechanics begin to move and assimilate, and the mechanics and the dynamics of hell begin to unite. And the beast will ascend out of the bottomless pit, for his pope will already be in position. The 10 kings, dictators, whatever they are, will be in their position. America will be in hers. Everything will be ready and set for the scene. He'll step out. The world will need a great leader, because commerce will have gone down the tubes. He will cause commerce. He will cause it to grow. He will be the answer to what they have need of. Friend, don't get it in your mind everybody's going to turn Catholic. That's not what he wants at all. The devil's got enough sense to know you don't have to everybody turn Catholic. All you got to do is just swear allegiance to her. You can be an apostolic and jerk and shout and speak in tongues and whatever more. Just don't speak against the Pope. Come on now. Thank God there'll be some on the earth in the last days, even the tribulation period, that'll give their lives. And the prophet of God said they'll be hunted down like dogs. Oh God, may every one of us be gone. How many wants to be ready? Amen. Please pray for Alexander Benton. He got sick in church. Had to be taken home. Let's pray for him as we pray for us today. With all your heart, do you want to be ready for the rapture? I quote to you again the words of the Lord Jesus. Pray ye therefore always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Not just believe you will, but pray that you will. Pray. Heavenly Father, as we approach you, Lord, in this solemn time, Lord, I think the events around us are happening so rapid, it's almost like we're numb to it. Every day something's going on. A war, a rumor of war. Lord, we see what's going on, Lord, over in the Ukraine. And now we're going to send ships over to Japan and to deal with Korea. Wars and rumors of wars. Lord, we know many of these things are nothing but diversions. I'm convinced with all of my heart that Satan has his demons. The demon of one nation to get angry at a demon of another nation. And that causes a little bit of a diversion. And it just diverts people's attention away from really the big main move.
It may work for the people that's not truly born again, but it'll never work for the elect. Lord Jesus, we desire to be ready. Father, if these people will move and fulfill your will because you have put it in their hearts, what about us as your children? I believe I have an advantage over those kings. I believe it was placed in me before the world ever began to fulfill your will. I pray, dear God, that you would help us. Help us as eagles. Lord, the busy things of life, sickness, surgery, troubles, our children. We thought when our children was 4 and 5 and 10 and all that, boy, it was something. Man, we'll be glad when they get grown up. Boy, when they get married and move out on their own. We didn't know what was wishing. Then they have kids on their own. Then they have grandkids. Where you was dealing with one or two youngers, now you're dealing with 14 grandkids and all of them get the flu at the same time, or they all get sick, or they got this and that and other going on. Lord, it seems like all of our problems and our worries and our troubles are just getting bigger and bigger and more and more. I pray you helped us to get a little glimpse of it today. It's nothing but that devil trying to keep us eagles earthbound, out of our domain, out of our position. I am at my best when I'm under your influence. Lord, that don't always have to be a church. Sometimes when I'm sitting downstairs, Lord, and I'm studying, Lord, as it was yesterday, when you woke me up early and I thought I had the sermon already prepared for the weekend, and all of a sudden, before daylight, these things started coming together. And I told Carol last night when we got home, it was like a bomb exploding on me. It was just one thing after another, as you was tying it together, Lord. I was soaring, dear God. I wasn't in the pulpit, but I was in my place. I was soaring with you. Help us to realize we don't have to wait till we're in church to soar. Housewives can do it at home when they're listening to tapes. Lord, when they're down praying, when they're making a pie, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost comes on them, the presence of God just lifts them up above their troubles. And they're soaring in heavenly places. Help us to realize it's the devil that tries to keep us earthbound. Fill our minds with all kinds of chatter, 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 chatter. But an eagle in his position in the heavenlies, he never hears the chatter, chatter of websites. He never hears the chatter, chatter of YouTube. He don't hear the chatter, chatter of gossip. But all he hears up there is other eagles screaming. Screaming in the presence of God. Oh, Jesus, help us, I pray. Father, we pray for little Alexander, dear God. You see, he had to leave the service today. May your presence go with him, dear God. Touch him, I pray. Oh, Jehovah Eagle. Maybe some of your little eagles is molting here today. Maybe today will be the day they'll take their head and their beak and they'll break over on that rock and they'll break that old crust off. Lord, maybe they've been going through this time for a while and they've pressed on to church and they've pressed on to pray and they've pressed on to clap their hands, but somehow it just ain't felt right. The songs ain't even sounded right. The sermons ain't sounded right to them. It's that old crust on their head. The devil tried to tell them it's lost. The devil tried to tell them they wasn't ordained to life. He's a liar. It was just a crust. But maybe today, Lord, is the time when they're to come to the rock and they're to start beating. Bang, bang, bang. The blood will go to flying and they're washed by the water of the word. And all of a sudden they fling that head of theirs. Their head goes one way and that crust goes another. And then they hear them sing songs and they sound different. They hear the sermon and it sounds different. They're standing in the same place they was last night, but somehow it feels different. Oh, grant it to us, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 How many loves him today? Spread your wings, little eagle. Fly. How many of you had a trip today? Right here in this building. Would you like to stay up a little bit longer? You honestly want to tell me that you're in heavenly places and you want to come down and go to Old Charlie's and get a roll. You want to tell me you want to go down to Lone Star or wherever more and sit down and get a steak. You want to come down from up there? Oh, not me. Let me stay up here just a little while longer, Lord. Oh, my. Let me just stay up here now as it was. Now, here's my mate.
let us do this. You know, you've seen the pictures of it, I'm sure, the videos of how the eagles will do in their mating time. And they'll get up and they fly way up high and they'll lock their feet together like that. And they'll just turn and turn and turn and turn. Then they let go. There they go screaming. And here they come back again and they lock their feet together and they turn and turn. Oh my. Hallelujah. Would you like to lock feet with him? Lord Jesus. You're up above all the world and above your troubles and above the chatter and above earthquakes and storms. And you're just up there with your lover, the King, Jehovah Eagle. Hallelujah. You're turning in the heavenlies. Your feet locked with his. Your wings and his wings are touching each other as you're fluttering. Praise be to God. Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Lock feet with us today. Pull us above this earth and its worries and its troubles. May we lock feet with Adonai. Elohim. Oh, Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Pull us above the chatter, the fear, the worry of what the world can do. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Sing for us, Harry. Let's worship him now. We'll go in a few minutes. We'll come down soon enough. Too soon, in my opinion. But while we're here in the heavenlies, let's worship. Let's look down on the storms that are beneath us. Let's look down on the things that you're wearing. God, how in the world am I going to face it? Let me tell you why them storms look so bad. Because you're on the bottom side of them. You're on the bottom side of them. I flew out of Atlanta, out of Newark, New Jersey, out of New York, out of Paris, out of Harare, out of Nairobi. Me and Carol flew out of Johannesburg one time. And my, the storms were so severe. It was amazing. The thunder and the lightning and the way it was coming down. It was absolutely incredible. Once we got in that 747-400, in a matter of minutes, with them jets screaming out of that Johannesburg airport, within a matter of minutes, what seemed so difficult and like such a storm. Those of you that flew, you know what I'm talking about. In a matter of minutes, oh my, the sun hadn't quite set there. And just in a little while, we'd crested the cloud tops and we'd come up above the clouds. And you know what was above the clouds? The wide open blue skies. And the fastened seatbelt light went off. And the captain come on board, ladies and gentlemen, you are free to move about the cabin. Oh, hallelujah. This is what we long for, children. When we can climb above the storms and our captain says, my sons and daughters, you are free to move about eternity. This is where you came from. This is where I brought you back to. The turbulence is gone. The storms are gone. Lord Jesus.
So spread your wings.
Hallelujah!
Little eagle.
Let's fly, eagle.
And fly.
Get above the shadows. Get above your storms, your difficulties.
You were born for the valley.
Yes, Lord.
You were born to soar in the sky. Little eagles and fly.
Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
So spread your wings. Little eagles and fly. You were born for the valley. You were born to soar in the sky. Don't let your trials get spirit to the ground, mount up with wings, little eagles and fly. So spread your wings, little eagles and fly.
trials get you down or drive your spirit to the ground. Mount up with wings, little eagles, and fly. So spread your wings, little eagles, and fly. You weren't born for the valley. You were born to soar in the sky. Don't let your trials get you down. Drive your spirit to the ground. Mount up with wings, little eagle, and fly.
Oh, praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Just before I dismiss you, can we just raise our wings up and just give him a wave offering? Oh, Lord, we love you so much. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We know trials are needful. Tests of life are needful. But how grateful we are, Lord, when we can fly and break through the clouds. The turbulence may bump us around and all that, but my, when we climb on the other side and we see the clear blue skies of revelation and understanding, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Oh, we love you, Father. How many loves him with all your heart? Amen. Don't you love soaring in heavenly places? Oh, I hear the prophet say, oh, it means so much nowadays, church, to see yourself positionally placed in Jesus Christ. He said, what is heavenly places? That's the believer's position in Christ. God bless you, saints. I love you so much. If I loved you anymore, I don't know how I could express it. I know I don't get to spend much time with you as far as natural time. But the way I look at it, if I spend time with him to bring things that will change you, we can catch up on the time on the other side. But if I spend all my time with you and I don't spend much time here and I get up here and I ain't got much to say, you're going to be in a world of hurt. I wish I could do both, but I'm just one person and I can't do it. So I choose to spend much of my time. I'm a loner, but much of the time I get lonely. It's not just that I'm a loner. I get lonely. Just want to be with somebody. Just want to. But I figure if I can be faithful to him, and just flow with him and stay in that presence of his word. And if he'll let me go up and soar and then I have to come back. And then if I can bring it to you, instead of me going up by myself this weekend, y'all went up with me. To me, what more could we ask for? Amen. God bless you. Let's pray together as we go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the weekend, dear God. I never cease to be amazed at you and your goodness and your power. Help me that I'll always follow you, Lord. You see, dear God, that I had 40-some pages lined out for this weekend already of evil spirits and demonology and all that. But for whatever reason, you wanted me to go this way. I'm so glad, Lord, that you did. Help me that I'll never think I know more about it than you do. Help me, Lord, that I'll never get in my mind what I think needs to be said. Help me to be always humble and submissive to you, Lord. We always bless our church with your presence, dear God. We don't ask you for money. We don't ask you for a big crowd. But we do ask you for you. Will you always be among us? We know you will, as long as we stay true to you. Go with them now, Lord. Bless them and keep them, I pray. Bring us back again Wednesday night for those who can come. Watch over those who've traveled ways today, dear God. Keep them by your grace. May we be ready, Lord, for soon the trumpet of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise. May we be ready for that hour, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
amen.
Was it understandable to you today?
Amen.
I hope it was. God bless you. Let's be ready, friends. When the great hour arrives, we'll leave out of this world.
Amen.
God bless you. Go in the fear of God.
I love you.
He's got it all in control.
Oh, yes, he has.
He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. I put my life in his hands. Sure is in his plan.